Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
My name's Mick, a mental health extra from Radio City Talk, following on from Mental Health Monday every Monday. We do this on a Tuesday with Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigma. And what great guests we had on Mental Health Monday this week. The podcast available to download and check out now with the team from Mary Seacole House. They were right characters. Jake Mills is in the studio. Jake, they were having a right old riot in the studio.
It's exactly what it should be like, though, isn't it? It's you know, the work that they're doing is incredible, but the enjoying doing it and that enthusiasm comes through, and it, yeah, it makes you feel better. Did it make you feel better? It makes your job easier, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because they were absolutely brilliant. You kind of got the sense that they all kind of did their own thing in a different way. It was an interesting thing as well, because, of course, they have funding from the council, and the work that they do is not just about mental health, although in many ways it's all about mental health. The work that they do is sometimes advocacy, which is like putting people in touch with like housing and all jobs which are sort of standard things that councillors would be involved in, that councils would be involved in as well. But to get the connection within the community, it seemed to be better to come from Mary Seacole House, which represents black and ethnic minorities, people from all kinds of different sort of backgrounds as well. And it's one of the things where some people might think, well, why do you need that? But quite clearly, there is connections there within communities that allow people to step into the door that they would step into, which otherwise they wouldn't, for various different reasons. But then That's the whole game with mental health, isn't it? Finding a way, finding a reason to be able to make a connection, to educate people about mental health or help people out with their problems.
Absolutely. It's about trust. And the best way to gain trust of people is by engaging a community and to have the spokespeople of the community being able to say, yeah, this is okay. We're almost putting a stamp of approval on it and saying, We can talk to you like you, talk to people like people. That's what it's all about. And as I say, that passion and enthusiasm that does come through. Every time I've ever spoken to them at Mary Seacole House, it's always been that really, like, they love what they do and they care about what they do and they care about the community. And that's going to be the key to getting through to anyone.
There was, and we were talking about sort of culturally, and different cultures, different religions, people who've been brought up in different places, different parts of the world, or different heritage, of course, see the world in slightly different ways. And it was fascinating, wasn't it? There was the comment about that there are some people who live in communities who have voices in their heads, which we might class as a mental health illness. But it was described as they are described themselves as being happy mad, that they have voices in their heads which they will have a conversation with.
Yeah.
And you think culturally, that's a very different sort of response to something which, from a different point of view, someone might go, there's a diagnosable thing, that person needs X, Y, or Z. Culturally, though, that can be very different. And it's understanding that those people would see things differently is crucial.
It is. And I think that's a really nice example of how you can live with whatever it is that you're going through. And, you know, a voice in your head doesn't have to be a bad thing. It can be a good thing. But it's about not claiming to understand everyone and everything, and using different communities and different groups to be able to say, you might understand that better than I can. So engaging that and using that and not having this one size fits all approach to help and support. And advocacy is so important. I think it's probably the most important thing that's out there. Being able to be a voice for people, being able to give them a guiding hand, because so many times we can't see ourselves, and we don't, especially if you're going through something with your mental health in particular, you can't see yourself. You might not have the confidence, you might not have the expertise, you might not have that voice to be able to say, stand up for yourself, for example. And that's why advocacy is so important, to say, we are there with you and we can help you get through to this next stage, so that then you can build that trust and confidence in yourself to be able to go and live your life independently. Advocacy is so important. It's absolutely crucial. And again, they're just great advocates of their community. They are able to, they're the pillar of their community. They're right down the road from James's place as well. So it's about how they can kind of interlink and work with each other. I just think that they're a great organisation, and that came across as well.
There's an episode as well from with Dr. Pragya, which is available on the Mental Health Monday feed as well. And that was about Southeast Asian communities and sort of how people view mental health differently. But then this idea that for a lot, and there's, I don't know if there's an assumption that, oh, now mental health is now a thing, and we can talk about mental health. Whereas there are some cultures where literally mental health doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I mean, it does exist, but it's not a consideration in it. If someone said, no, your thoughts and feelings, well, then that's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think, well, we're not really that far away from that in the white, Western sort of metropolitan world now. Mm-hmm. I mean, even 5-10 years ago when you started doing your campaign, people going, what do you mean mental health?
Yeah.
So it's no surprise that other cultures, different backgrounds, are either way behind or way ahead, or see the things completely different.
Exactly, and that's why you can't be dictating. You can't be telling people how they have to feel, how they have to address it, how they have to work with it. So it's being inclusive to everyone and everybody's kind of approach to it and understanding and different cultures, as you said. But I think that one yesterday is an example of why this is such a great platform to give an organisation like Mary C. Cole House that opportunity to have themselves heard and that personality that they're able to get across in a short amount of time, hopefully will appeal to a lot of people.
The podcast available to download, and you can check it out free, Mental Health Monday. Just type that into your podcast provider, it'll come down, and then you get Mental Health Extra free. If you subscribe to that one, it'll automatically drop into your inbox. There's the, people are kind of getting sort of awoken to sort of mental health things now. There was a story, it did make me laugh because I just thought, oh, like, there was a fella, did you see, he'd placed a job advert?
No, I haven't seen this. No.
So he placed a job advert and he said in the job advert, and he was basically, no snowflakes for me.
Yeah.
I run a call centre and I want people who can come in and do their jobs. He said, and this was his way of showing his understanding of the world of mental health. I don't want anyone who's going to blame depression or anxiety for not showing up to work on a Monday. Mm. I don't want those people working for me. And you think, oh, have a word with yourself, mate.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I understand depression, anxiety are very serious things, but not when they happen after a festival when you've been taking drugs all weekend. I'm just thinking, oh, mate, do yourself a favour here.
It won't be depression that stops me going to work for him.
And I just thought, there's an example there of somebody who's, oh, no, I'm right across this mental health thing. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, no, that's absolutely mental health. Yeah, that's the thing. But don't you be blaming mental health when you've been having a good weekend.
Yeah.
Don't you come and work for me.
It's this idea. By the way, I used to work in a call centre and they are not nice places to be in when it comes to your mental health. They can be really, I think it's something that we have to be talking about and addressing, making that environment a bit better. I used to work in a call centre for a bank and it was literally just call after call after call after call, sales, targets. It was horrible. Some people, of course, don't mind that, but I just think the environment wasn't healthy. Yeah, it's one of them. And I always kind of say that this snowflake generation, every generation is a snowflake generation to the one before.
I'm a proper flake, me.
Yeah, it's basically a previous generation going, this is how you're meant to live. This is what you're meant to put up with. And it's the next generation going, no, that's a load of rubbish. We want to change that for a better life for us. They are the snowflake generation. Every generation is a snowflake generation. It's basically somebody who wants change and isn't afraid to say that doesn't work.
I think there is that slightly disingenuous thing, isn't there, of going, to specifically say to people, don't be coming to me with your depression, anxiety. Oh, I understand depression.
No, I know
it's real. But you think, well, I know it's real light, but if you mention it, I'm going to presume it's an excuse. And then you still get a sense of that, oh, everyone's depressed these days.
Yeah.
And that's seen as like, oh, everyone's depressed these days. Like, oh, everybody's making up something about their men. But then nobody ever goes, everyone's depressed these days.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we? What are we going to do about that?
Yeah.
Like, no one ever has that. But it's too easy to say, everyone's depressed these days. They must be making it up. I'm just going to carry on doing things the way I've always done it because that's an easier way to think of the world.
Yeah. And you know what? I think there's always going to be, maybe not always, but there will be a level of that that exists in, most places across society and workplaces.
I think it might be the majority opinion.
I'd probably argue that, to be honest with you. And it's about how we change that. And I think if you think stigma doesn't exist or is vanishing, it's not. We're a long way away from that. And I think that's actually the perfect example of gestures that happen across the UK and further on, where people say, I'm there for you, or we take it seriously, or we're signing this pledge. And then the actual reality of somebody then going to someone saying, I'm struggling, being like, oh, actually, you see people losing friends, and you see people like that who say, well, I know it's real, but it's not real in you, because I don't see any reason why you should be feeling that way. You know, these things do exist.
Well, that's
and it's
when,
a long way
that's
to
when
go.
People go, yeah, capital M, capital H, mental health. That's very important. Small M, small mental health. To be honest, I went on a course.
Yeah.
And I'm right across this now, and I've signed a pledge to it. But really, what I'm doing is I'm carrying on.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah. Or worse. And I've become a bit of a psychologist, and actually can now, like, that's not what the training is or what it's for.
No. And it's and that's what we need to change. And that's why, particularly within the workplace, we have to be looking at it on a day-to-day basis, not looking at it for the 10th of October on World Mental Health Day or Suicide Prevention Week, which is coming up, or Mental Health Awareness Week. It's actually looking at it day-to-day, how you're changing it, and listening to your employees and understanding what we're doing. And that leads quite nicely on. So we've just started doing our Ambassador Hope training program with the DBS office, who are based in Liverpool, just over from, we can actually see their office now. So that's the disclosure and barring service. So people who do like the CRB checks,
they're not called CRB checks
they're
anymore.
They're not anymore, no. And what they've done is they're rolling that out across all their members of staff, which is 900. But what they, in the first session that we had with members of staff, the acting chief executive was in there doing a training with them. But importantly, we weren't training the board. The board have said they want to do the training, but they want to be in with the staff. So they're actually separating it so that they're going to be in different sessions. And what we've actually discussed with them as well is that, yeah, that's great. But if staff then want to talk afterwards, they're happy to either stay in there or to leave the room if staff want to do it. But what the first session that we had with the acting chief executive, the conversation that we were able to have, really honest, really listening to the staff and engaging in it and understanding what the staff need and want to be able to roll that as part of the day to day. That's what's needed, not just gestures.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Of like, well, what are we actually going to do? How are we? Because that's the thing. You might do a suicide prevention course and you'll get in and it takes 20 minutes and it'll almost blow your mind as to, right. Yeah. I completely think differently about it as well. But then there's also that thing about what are we going to do on a day-to-day basis to change, this, that, or the other. I was talking to George McCain from Yellow House, and he was talking about coming away from sessions, cancer treatment sessions, and they were saying, "Oh, George, how do you have the outlook on life that you have?" And he kind of go, "Well, and meditate." Mm. And they were saying, "Well, oh, that's probably not for me." That, and he goes, "Well, it's not hard to understand, but then it's that thing of, well, I want to feel a certain way about myself, but then what steps am I prepared to take, and who's going to sort of hold my hand while I take those steps?"
Yeah,
because if you are going to change your lifestyle because it's not working for you, you're going to change your work practices because they're not working for you, it will actually involve change. And one of the hardest things to do is change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just changing your routine. Even trying to drive to work a different way just feels really, really odd. You might do it for a couple of days and go, "Oh, I think I'm just going to go the old way."
Yeah.
Because naturally we fit into these things going, well, this is the way things are. This is the way I feel about myself. This is the way my life is. You know, if you suddenly decide you want to make an hour and a half for yourself in the gym 2 times a week, you try and pull 3 hours in a week from somewhere, you're thinking, I just can't do that. You can if you really want to, if you want to force it, but it's easier to not do it.
That's it, and it's breaking habits, but that's why it's important for a workplace and employee to help make those changes within the workplace so that it's not a conscious effort for you. And it's sometimes such simple things. And even, for example, loads of workplaces have their own internal support system, which might be a third party healthcare provider who they can signpost and say, if you need any help, this is where you can go. We pay for this. But what happens is that they think that's all set up and that's when they say, we've got that. But then you speak to employees and they say, didn't even know about it. So it's having that connection to say, why don't you make that common knowledge? Why aren't you having that everywhere so that people do understand, know that it's there? Just having something and hoping that everybody, or assuming everybody, knows and understands that process isn't enough. So that's an example of just one change that people can do to make that part of the everyday.
There you go. You could do that. You could pledge to yourself, give yourself a mental health moment.
Yeah.
Once a week. Within a workplace, if you're a boss, you can go, you know what, here's your mental health moment, is a free coffee for everybody. Is it, you know what, everybody pens down. Stop
fingers on lips.
Pens down. Everyone start working. Go on, have an extra hour for your lunch. Yeah. Everybody go, hey, yeah, that's all right.
What would you do? Is that what you'd do?
Yeah, I'd just stick, I'd play Definitely Maybe.
Yeah.
Just back to back.
Yeah.
Have a kip.
Yeah.
And then I'd come back and then go, that was Definitely Maybe. This is What's the Story, Morning Glory. And then I'd play that.
Oh, would you? Yeah. So yeah, just got ongoing.
And then, but then I'd be sleeping through because, you know, you got young kids.
It feels a little bit more like more than an hour this though.
And you'd be like, wait, how was the show today? And I was, bit Oasis heavy, to be honest. Yeah. I feel great. Yeah, that's what we're going to go for.
No, I like it. But it is just thinking a little bit more kind of human.
Well, you know what? I got into work yesterday, right? We're quite lucky at Radio City because we have, like, we're working a good place, good environment to work, good people to work for. I got in on Monday and there was like a trolley going around with Danish pastries on and like fruit juice. And it was like, Mick, do you want a Danish pastry? It's like, yeah, it's 9:45 on a Monday morning. Of course. I want some Danish pastry. A week before it was boiling hot, they came round with ice cream. It slightly melted, but it was fine. Yeah. It was like
having a little go, just getting that in there.
Yeah, and it was just that thing of just going, you know what, we'll do things. But then if you're doing that thing, the call centre thing, the checkout thing, and we've all done those sorts of jobs where it's just like clock started, boom, you're on.
Yeah.
And
it's
you ain't
one
getting
after
off.
Another.
You're not getting off until you get your 15 minutes break.
Yeah.
Which we'll pay you for, but we don't really want to pay for you.
Yeah, yeah.
So make sure you've clocked off. I'd clock off, right? But what I'd do, I'd go and get me coat and then clock off just to try and buy a little bit of me time in the day.
Yeah, like toilet breaks.
And then they'd be looking at you like, could you please clock off before? And I'm just trying to top over into the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little bit of mean time.
But there's just small things that I think can happen that can make that environment a little bit easier to be in, especially if you're going in day after day after day. It can be mind-numbing.
Which is basically what work is.
It is. It is.
Jake, thank you for your time. Chasing the Stigmas up and running. The Ambassador of Hope training as well. You can find out more information through there. The Hub of Hope as well is Jake's baby, celebrating 2 years last week. And well done. You got a lot of media coverage from that. That was good to see.
Yeah. It's
You're
just,
welcome.
Yeah.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle. Radio City Talk.